Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Stuart Acuff with Utility Workers Union of America, asking you to tune in every time you can to Bob Carson's Carson's Corner, one of the best pro-labor shows in America. We love it at Utility Workers. We love it across the AFL-CIO, and we're grateful to Bob for coming on and holding up our issues and holding up our principles and values.
My name is Angelo Carasone, better known as Stop Back on Twitter, and primarily I spend my time trying to debunk right-wing lies that permeate our media, and there's, you know, one of the places that we do it is on Bob Carson's show.
Hi, this is David K. Johnston, and you're listening to Carson's Corner with Bob Carson.
This is Lamar Waldron, the author of Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy, those two books, the latter of which will become a movie produced and starring Leonardo DiCaprio in 2013, and you are listening to Carson's Corner with Bob Carson on Underground Progressive Radio.
This is Les Leopold, the author of How to Make $1 Million an Hour, and I just want to tell you that you'll get a rich and rewarding experience by listening to Carson's Corner.
This is Greg Palast, reporter for BBC Television and Democracy Now, and author of the new book Vulture's Picnic, In Pursuit of Petroleum Pigs, Power Pirates, and High Finance Carnivores, and you're listening to Carson's Corner on 5:30 a.m. Underground Progressive Radio, radio for the 99%. Help us occupy the airwaves and support Carson's Corner and support 5:30 Underground Progressive Radio.
And welcome live to a edition of Carson's Corner in conjunction with the CommonsProjectNetwork.com. My name is Bob Carson, and without further ado, I want to get to our first guest, or our only guest of the show here today. We have a shortened show, about a half hour long, and this guy, Jeff Howard, he's been on the show really since we've started in Blog Talk Radio, going back to 2011 I've known him, and let me just tell you, he is one of the most passionate progressives, liberal, whatever you want to call them out there, activist, that he's a tireless activist who, you know, really shows up and tries to make a difference. I just admire him so much. And we're going to talk to him, find out what has been going on in his life. I understand that he attended a TPP protest, and this is all very, very important. So without further ado, let's bring him back to the program. Jeff, welcome back to Carson's Corner.
Hi, Bob. Thanks very much for having me on. And thank you for all the kind words. Your check's in the mail.
Well, you know, it's you do a lot. And probably out of almost everybody I know, you're probably the hardest working, one of the hardest working activists that I've seen. And I really admire you for that, because, you know, if there's a difference between talking about things as I do, and there's a difference between that and actually going out in the field and meeting people, and that's how we really enact change in our country. So thank you for all you do. I just want to kind of catch up, you know, what's been going on, what have you been involved with recently, and we'll just kind of take it from there.
Well, day before yesterday in New Haven at the Robert Jaimo Federal Building in New Haven, Connecticut, we had a anti-Trans-Pacific Partnership rally to try to tell our elected officials that the TPP is bad economics, it's bad for jobs, it's bad for the American economy, it is bad all around. And this is NAFTA on steroids. If you thought there was a gigantic sucking sound after NAFTA, after all the businesses shot to Mexico and South America, wait till this goes through. We're talking about losing millions of manufacturing jobs to Vietnam, to Indonesia, India, to Bangladesh, all over the place, where they're paying these people $1.25 an hour, a day, I'm sorry, $1.25 a day, with no environmental laws, with no, trade protections for the United States, with no tariffs or anything. So this is just bad all around, Bob, bad all around.
Yeah, and I think what we're seeing now is people are starting to get active on this issue here, and there's starting to be some pushback, especially with regards to the fast-track procedure, which the administration is pushing for. What was the mood of the crowd, Jeff? How many people were there, and how effective do you think this rally was?
Well, we had about, because we halfway through we got snowed out, we had about 75 people there. And after, the weather really got bad on us, about 20 of us went over to Rosa DeLauro's office, which is right down the street. And she's our congressman from this district, and she is on record as opposing this. And she and half a dozen other congressmen are fighting tooth and nail to keep this from going through the House. And I happen to know Richard Blumenthal, who is a United States Senator from Connecticut. He lives in New Haven, and I happen to know him, so I called his office, and he was there. So I drove over, and I had a personal meeting with him, and he said he would do everything he could. He would filibuster it if necessary.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing. I'm not even sure. I mean, I haven't followed, what the reaction has been. I know there's mounting pressure, but I don't know. Has Senator Blumenthal come out on the record against TPP?
Not in so many words, but he has voiced his concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And I also called Christopher Murphy, who is our other senator. He wasn't in his office in Hartford at the time, but I left a message with him, and I gave him I mailed him a petition that we had passed around and signed. It had about 3,000-4,000 people sign it over the last couple of months. So I'm sure Senator Murphy will do what he can to stop it. I know Senator Blumenthal will do what he can to stop it. And I know that Congresswoman DeLauro will do what she can to stop it. So this is a growing sentiment amongst many people throughout the country.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
I firmly believe in free trade, but free trade has to mean fair trade. If they want total access to our markets, we demand total access to their markets. If they're putting a limit on what we can sell in their country, then we have to put a limit on what they can sell in ours. It goes both ways. I have no problem with free trade, but it has to be fair trade.
I am reassured by hearing the opposition mounting here. And I wanted to ask you if the Tea Party folks, by and large, are going to come out against this. I mean, they would oppose this, obviously, for different reasons. They, feel that this would grant President Obama authority that, in their mind, circumvents a democratic process. And so that their objections to this aren't obviously on the basis of what you and I objected for, but it's more of a personal thing against Obama. Do you think there's going to be opposition from the Tea Party that would help to sink this legislation?
From what I have heard on listening to the news shows and reading the news magazines and papers and everything else, there is a lot of Tea Party opposition to this. It's the one thing I can agree with the Tea Party on. It's the only thing I can agree with the Tea Party on. If they think this is going to hurt President Obama, fine, come on board. It's going to help the American people.
Yep. And, the thing that concerns me is the corporate might that is trying to push this over the finish line, and that's really concerning, because if you look at the amount of lobbyists that are working on this, you know, piece of legislation. It's similar back to in the 90s when NAFTA was passed. The American people, the polls were against the legislation, and yet the legislation was passed anyway. And as you noted, we've seen just a huge trade deficit emerge, really dating back to that time. And you could probably even date it back to Reagan, but you know, NAFTA put everything on acceleration in terms of lowering tariff barriers and making us, you know, an import, a mass consumer, as opposed to, you know, producing products and shipping them to overseas. And so that's what really concerns me, is that it's all being done in private. There's even some talk about putting in provisions that would exempt Wall Street from a transaction tax, which I think that is just absolutely terrible. And you know, who knows what else is in this piece of legislation? It's absolutely scary. But you know, it's like it almost seems like the will of the people doesn't matter. At least, you know, not up until this point.
Well, I agree with you, Bob. I'll tell you a secret about myself. I supported NAFTA when it first came out in like 94. I thought the principle behind it was a good idea, that if we could build a middle class in Mexico, they would want American cars, they would want American clothes, they would want American electronics, that companies would move from Indonesia and to Mexico and buy their raw material from plants in America. But unfortunately, that's not the way it worked out. And I live my life by one simple creed. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Well, nobody fools me twice.
Very good point. And, you know, one of the arguments that's been made by people that support this legislation, I think in the Washington Post a few weeks ago, they said that these jobs are going to be offshore anyway, and so it just it doesn't matter if, you know, we pass the TPP. How do you respond to that, Jeff?
Well, very simple. If they want to ship their factories overseas, all right, not much we can do about it. One thing we can do is we can stop giving them tax breaks for doing that. In fact, we can raise their personal income taxes when they do that. You want tax breaks? You build your plant here, just like Weatherall. Did you see their ad on,
no,
on the Super Bowl? They build their plants here in America. They buy their raw materials from plants here in America, and they hire American workers at union wages. Costco, the same thing. Trader Joe's, the same thing. A lot of major corporations do this, because they understand one thing. A happy employee is a productive employee.
Mm-hmm.
A productive employee means a satisfied customer. A satisfied customer means repeat sales, and repeat sales means we all get rich. You know, it can be done. We just have to take the incentives out of the tax code that lets Mitt Romney and John Huntsman and people like that who ship millions and millions of jobs overseas to stop reaping the tax benefits from that and start slapping them with higher taxes when they do that. That's the only thing they understand, is their bottom line.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, I mean, I would imagine that there are some industries against this, against free trade. I mean, I always say that with any piece of major legislation out there, it's not monolithic in terms of corporate support. You're going to have, you know, some industries that are going to be for it and some industries that are going to be against it. But, you know, we'll just have to see what happens. And your argument about, you know, happy employees leads to more productivity and so on and so forth, I think that could be also applied to the minimum wage in America. And studies show that. I mean, it's you have, minimum wage jobs, people working for the least amount allowable by law, you'll see dissatisfaction, you'll see a high turnover rate, you know, more call-outs, so on and so forth. And so you raise the minimum wage, and then you'll see increasing in productivity and all the economic benefits associated with paying workers more. You know, both political parties here, I think transcends both political parties. And Tom Hartman, the progressive talk radio host, has said that the first party that adopts the anti-free trade position in the sense of it being patriotic to make American products and buy American and really shaming corporations that, you know, are engaged in intra-trade where they set up a subsidiary offshore and make products there for, you know, cheap wages and re-import them back into the United States, or any of the number of tricks that allow these corporations to, you know, basically use offshore labor, which results in a downward pressure on American wages. That is basically un-American. It's anti-American, I would argue, for the reasons that we've been talking about. Do you think that eventually that either hopefully the Democrats or whoever adopt this free trade or buy American mantra to shame companies for, you know, engaging in the practices that they're engaging?
Excuse me. I think it's already starting. President Obama threw down the gauntlet not only in the State of the Union address, but in a lot of the speeches he's making around the country right now. And I remember what Henry, I was debating this at one of the high schools here in Milford, Connecticut, where I live, with a member of the Chamber of Commerce. And his argument was that, you know, raising minimum wage raises prices and all that crap, which is, you know, totally against all the economic evidence.
Mm-hmm.
But told him that Henry Ford,
yep,
says when he invited the United Auto Workers into his plant in Detroit and gave them a 20% pay raise. He said right after he did that, he found that absenteeism dropped, turnover in employees dropped, and productivity went through the roof. He said raising their wages was the best decision he ever made. And that is what, you know, the owners of Walmart have got to learn. You know, they wouldn't have people. Walmart has such incredible employee turnover. That means lost productivity. It means extra costs in training and everything else. You think that the Walton family could live on instead of the $11 million a year they get or whatever it is, it's some huge amount of money, and you think they couldn't do with about $2 million less each and pay their people $10, $12 an hour? It would be the best business decision they could ever make, and they wouldn't have to raise prices one red cent.
You know, Tom Hartman was talking about this yesterday, the day before, how the stock market took a big plunge because Walmart, you know, the cutting of food stamps, and so many Walmart employees are on food stamps because of the Walmart business model, that it's less money that goes into the economy. And so, you know, Walmart took a hit, and the stock market in general took a hit, which shows you, I think that the workers' wages, the more money workers have, the more they spend it in the economy. And also, you know, you look at things like the payroll tax cut. That was, when President Obama reduced it down to 4.2% and it expired, I believe, in the beginning of 2013. Well, all that money was basically sucked out of the economy because people had to pay a higher payroll tax, which proves that if you give workers more money, the economy, you know, is in better shape. So I think that that's starting to get home. That message is starting to get across to people, and it's good to see the Democrats running on this. You know, you've got Bill de Blasio in New York City who ran on a progressive campaign. You've got several other politicians in different states advocating a raising of the minimum wage, and it's good to see that. We'll see if it actually transpires. On the immigration front, it's all tied in together. All these issues are melded in, minimum wage, immigration, this and that. You have the Republicans now coming out and saying that nothing is going to be done in 2014 for immigration. And I say that's good because, you know what? That's good for the Democrats at least, because if the Republicans shoot down any type of immigration reform, that's only going to motivate the Hispanics, which, as we know, is an ever-growing part of the country, to get out there and vote more. That's only going to just solidify their place, the Republican Party, as being just a older white male party.
Well, that's why they oppose the path to citizenship. You can always tell Republican voter discrimination laws who they're targeted by. Who the voter discrimination laws are targeted at. You can tell them by the color of their skin, you can tell them by their age, and you can tell them by their economic level.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want path to citizenship. That means another couple of million people who won't vote for them. I think in the immigration bill that, Mark Rubio wrote and then voted against, which I still can't figure out, seeing as how his parents are immigrants, which Ted Cruz opposes, which I can't figure out because his parents are immigrants, at least his father is. By the way, you think there's any chance we can get Canada to take Cruz back?
Maybe.
I think legalization... I think there is a deal to be made and a compromise to be found in the immigration bill that is in front of the Congress now. At least it won't make all these people criminals. Now, I'm all for securing the border because whether we like it or not, along our southern border, the CIA and the Defense Intelligence Agency says foreign terrorists are crossing our border from Mexico and South America, so we have to secure the border. But the people that are here now, 99.99% of them are good, honest, decent, hardworking people who just want a better life.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make some allowances for this. Earned citizenship, I have no problem. I don't believe in amnesty, but I do believe in earned citizenship. And I think there's a compromise that can be found in this bill.
You mentioned Marco Rubio a little while ago, and what's interesting is that after, he was against the legislation, against immigration reform, when he was for it, and after when he was against it, you look at his standing among, whether or not he's a viable candidate for 2016, it dropped tremendously. Which really shows you that the Republican Party, which is being driven by the anti-immigrant pundits out there, they scoff at anything that has to do with including different people in our culture, and we can just go over example after example of some of the anti-immigrant rhetoric coming out of Fox News and other right-wing individuals. Rubio is basically no longer in contention now, and it's mainly because of his support for immigration reform. Even John Boehner, who has signaled openness to providing immigration reform, now he's going to be backtracking because the base of the party doesn't want that, and so it doesn't look like it's going to be a possibility at all, which I don't think is a bad thing in the long term, because I agree with a lot of what you said, but this looks like it's going to be probably a Democratic alone initiative. They just don't seem to understand. They don't seem to care about the demographics of America. They figure they can neutralize that with, you know, gerrymandering and other techniques designed to suppress the votes, but it's not going to work out like that in the long run, and eventually, you know, we are going to win. And, you know, what's interesting, too, is, you know, you mentioned how these individuals, you know, bringing in two or three or however many million illegal immigrants onto the rolls, they're going to, by and large, because Hispanics tend to agree with the role of government that progressives advocate for. They don't subscribe to the you know, abstract notion of, you know, less government, this and that, government's bad. They believe in government. They believe that government, you know, can regulate society and do some good for the people. And so that it's just going to make it that much more worse for the Republican Party.
Well, most of them come from countries where the government oppresses their people. Mm-hmm. They come here to a government that tries to lift up the poorest part of our people, and they say, that's what I believe in, helping, having a government that where the wealth generated by that nation is used for the good of all of their people. And as far as their opposition to immigration, look at all the flack Coca-Cola is getting from that
yep.
commercial they ran on the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. You know, we are a nation of many different peoples from many different countries, many different languages, and many different faiths. So to have, you know, we are a nation of immigrants. None of us, unless you're Native American, and I proudly say I have Native American blood on both sides of my family, but most of my relatives came from Ireland. So we are a nation of immigrants, all right? Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. When was that not an American goal? That is why we are called the Great American Melting Pot. And this is what the conservatives don't seem to understand, Bob. Our national motto, E Pluribus Unum, does not mean in God we trust. It means from many, one, the Great American Melting Pot. And I hold that up to be my motto. You know, as long as you want to come here legally, the golden door is open. Welcome.
We've got about 2 minutes left. Before we wrap it up, I just want to get your prediction. What do you think is going to happen with the Trans-Pacific Partnership?
There is going to be a hullabaloo on the floor of the Senate, but unfortunately, I think the corporate powers that be are lined up behind it, and because in many cases this is the best Congress corporate money can buy, I think it's going to go through, but not without a fight.
Yeah, I think that pretty much sums it up. I really do. Well, Jeff, listen, it's been great catching up with you again, having you on the program. We really appreciate your conviction and your passion and everything that you do, and you know, keep us updated too on any protests or any rallies that you've got coming on, and let's continue to work together as we move forward.
I will do it. I'm going to announce that I'm going to hold a for MoveOn.org. I am holding an Inequality for All screening at my home. I've got about 40 people coming, and we're going to screen Inequality for All, Robert Reich's movie.
Oh, yeah.
And then we are going to sit down and discuss ways we can get out there. See, Bob, I may sound like some kind of 60s weatherman underground radical, but we have got to take this to the street. That's the only way they're going to listen.
Amen. Absolutely. Jeff, thanks a lot. Take care, and we'll talk to you sometime down the road. Take care, brother. All right, that was Jeff Howard here on Carson's Corner. Real quickly, you could friend me on Facebook at facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarsonsCorner13. And support the Commons Project Network.com. Until next time, show some respect.